In the days of Abraham, one of the ways that people showed their love for God was by offering to him a sacrifice. A sacrifice, it was like a gift. It was something that you gave to God to show him that you were willing to obey him, even when it cost you something. Usually it was something like a sheep or a lamb. But when Isaac was still a young boy, God asked Abraham for a different kind of offering. See, God said, this year, instead of killing an animal and giving it to me, I would like you to give me your only son, Isaac. Abraham, he's shocked, and he thought to himself, no, not Isaac. He is my only son. How could I possibly give my only son? But then Abraham remembered God's promise that Isaac would be the father of many nations. And he realized that God would never have lied to him. And so he reasoned, if God has asked me to sacrifice my only son, it may be that he will raise him from the dead. So the next morning, Abraham took Isaac and he went to the place of sacrifice. Isaac, now he had been there several times before, and he began to realize that there was something missing. Father, he said, we've forgotten to bring the sacrifice, something to sacrifice. And Abraham said, don't worry, son. God will supply the sacrifice. When they reached the place of the sacrifice, Abraham tied his son and placed him on the altar. And he raised the knife to kill his son as God had asked. And suddenly there was an angel that appeared. He said, stop! Now I know that you love me. You are willing to give me your only son as a sacrifice. That's all I wanted to know. Abraham looked, and there in the bushes was a big male sheep. It was caught by its horns, and so Abraham went and he took the big sheep and he offered it as a burnt offering to God. And then Abraham and Isaac, they walked home together. Today, as we continue working our way through our children's stories, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, we're going to talk about Abraham and Isaac. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? We're going to ask you, if you would, please, to stand. We're going to read through our scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 11. Andrew, you were quick at that. Verses 17 through 19. He jumped right up. It reads like this. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now, in a copy of Biblical Archaeological Review, which was an article, a magazine back in 1984, they were discussing the city of Carthage. Carthage is in northern Africa. It was a place where Hannibal came from. It was a major military power, and it often challenged the might of Rome. So you can imagine the Romans and the Carthage people fighting against each other. And archaeologists, they had been doing some digging around the city of Carthage, and they were surprised by what it is they found. You see, many archaeologists believe, or they get this view of religion as something that has evolved over time. The thinking was that early religions, they were crude, they were barbaric, and human sacrifices, they were the norm. But as religions evolved, they would say, people became more humane and animal sacrifices became the norm. But you see, that's not what they found there at Carthage. You see, it seems that the early sacrifices were animals. And as time went on, human sacrifices became more common. Now that puzzled the experts, and it led them to speculate as to why something like that would happen. And the explanation that the authors of this article came up with, that they provided, was that when Carthage was first founded, animals were plentiful. Children, not so much. If the city was going to grow, they had to keep all the children. They needed the children so that the children could grow up and become adults and populate, have more children. But you see, as the city grew larger and larger and larger, the animals became more scarce. And the children, there were a lot more of them. And so human sacrifices actually replaced the animal sacrifices. And in the Old Testament, there were a lot of nations who sacrificed. Oh, the whole idea just sounds really weird. There were a lot of nations who sacrificed their children to their pagan gods. They would often sacrifice their children after a defeat or some great disaster. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, God told Israel, "When the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations whom you go to dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land, take care that you be not ensnared to follow them after they have been destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods?' That I also may do the same. You shall worship the Lord. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods." In Leviticus chapter 20, God is kind of driving that home, hammering that home. "Say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones." You see, human sacrifices, it was a great evil that God would not tolerate. He wanted to have nothing to do with it. Okay. But wait a minute. God hated human sacrifice. He despised it. He even called it an abomination. In fact, God actually drove numerous nations out of Canaan specifically because they offered their children as burnt offerings to their gods. But here in Genesis chapter 22, where our narrative, where our story is taken from today, in Genesis 22, God is now asking Abraham to offer his son as a burnt offering to him. So what's going on here? Well, the answer, it's found right there in the scripture. See, Abraham, he is about to drive the knife home, and God says to him, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your only son from me." An altar. The purpose of an altar was to have a place where you could surrender something valuable to God. And at this altar, God asked Abraham to surrender the most valuable thing in his life. His only son. Now you have to understand that throughout Abraham's life, he had built a number of altars. It seems that everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar and he made a sacrifice there. But you see, Abraham, so to speak, he was a rich man. He had many sheep, cattle, and camels, donkeys. He had a number of servants. And up until this point, the sacrifices that he made hadn't really cost him all that much. But with the offering up of his son Abraham, was laying everything on the altar. And so God is asking Abraham to do the unthinkable, to see if Abraham loved God more than his own son. Jesus challenges us in much the same way in Matthew chapter 10. He says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So the question this morning, what I want you to think about, to ponder, maybe even take this home with you. Have you laid it all on the altar? Is there anything that you love more than Jesus? Now, there is an old hymn. Many of you are probably familiar with it. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Goes like this. Have you longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and earnestly, fervently prayed? But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until on the altar all is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. And I am convinced that that hymn, it was inspired by the story, the narrative that we are going through today about Abraham and Isaac. You see, Abraham's all, it was literally laid on the altar of sacrifice. It was all out there for God. You see, God actually allowed Abraham to keep his son. As the song says, Abraham was perfectly blessed. God says, because you have done this, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Basically, God is saying, Abraham, you laid it all on the altar, and so I am going to bless you. When someone decides to become a Christ follower, we are actually told in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And in the days of Jesus, if someone were to call somebody else Lord, it meant that you were their slave, that you served them. See, a slave doesn't really own anything. The master owns it all. The master would own everything. And so, as Christians, as we turn our lives over to God, as we surrender ourselves to God and to Jesus Christ, we become His servant, and He is our master, which means we don't own anything. Think of your wallet or your purse, the credit cards, the money that is in there. That all belongs to God. Your children, your grandchildren. How about the cars that you drove to get here? The place where you live, your house. That all belongs to God. It is all His. Have you laid it all on the altar for God? Have you placed it before Him and said, God, this is yours? You see, to become a Christian is to lay it all on the altar. God, it all belongs to you. But you see, even the best of Christians can get lazy when it comes to stuff like that. Even the best of Christians can get caught up in holding out on God. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is confronting one of the lukewarm churches in the letters that are written to the seven churches. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. See, Jesus, He wanted to get in and to take ownership of that congregation. Someone wrote a parable, a story about it. There's this guy, he had his house, and Jesus came up to his house, and Jesus is knocking on the front door. So the guy, he gladly opened the front door, and he let Jesus in, invited him to the kitchen table, said, hey, why don't you come in and sit down at the table? Let's chat for a little bit. But Jesus walked right on by him, and he went to the living room, and he started knocking on the living room door, and the guy's a little bit hesitant. Said, but Jesus kept knocking. So the guy opened the living room door. Jesus went into the living room, but he continued on through there. And he went over and he was knocking on the bedroom door. And by this time, the guy's really hesitant. Said, I'm not really sure I want Jesus to go in there. But Jesus is persistent, just kind of keeps knocking. So the guy opened that door as well. Jesus went into the bedroom, but he walked right up to the closet and started knocking on the closet door. And he knocked on it. See, the point of the illustration is this. Jesus doesn't just want part ownership of your life. He wants the whole thing. He wants every single room. He wants every single nook and cranny. And that is what it comes down to for us. We need to place it all on the altar of sacrifice. Every single bit of it. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. But why? Why would God want us to lay it all on the sacrifice? Because when we surrender our lives to God, it is then that God can begin to do something powerful in and through us. I mean, that's exactly what God did with Abraham and Isaac, isn't it? Think about it. Because Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son, God used that story, that narrative, to tell us about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You see, everything in the Bible somehow points to Jesus. Follow along with me on this if you can. Isaac, he is referred to as Abraham's son, his only son. And in John 3:16, we are told that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Oh, but it gets better than that. Isaac asked, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Oh, but it gets better than that. Isaac and Abraham, they traveled for 3 days on their way to get to the altar. Jesus, he was raised from the tomb on the third day. Oh, but it keeps getting better. The wood for the sacrifice, as Isaac and Abraham are making their way there, the wood for the sacrifice, it was actually placed on Isaac's back, and Isaac carried it. And the wooden cross was placed on Jesus' shoulders. You starting to get the picture a little bit here? Isaac was taken to Mount Moriah to be sacrificed. Jesus was actually sacrificed on Golgotha, and many believe that that is right there on the base of Mount Moriah. God supplied the sacrifice to be offered in Isaac's place. And God supplied the sacrifice to be offered in our place for our sins. That was Jesus Christ. Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead, and Jesus came back from the dead for our sins. And God raised him because of us. You see, the parallels are there. The stories, they're really close. Isn't that really neat? It's kind of cool when you think about it. Because Abraham was willing to surrender his most precious possession to God, God used this narrative, this story, to tell the story of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, to assure us that the details of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, it had been planned out for centuries. It had been planned way back in the time of Isaac, even before that. Seemingly every single aspect of the story of Abraham and Isaac being sacrificed pointed to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you see, there's still more than that. Do you remember the part of the story where Isaac, he kind of looks around and he says, "Hey, Father, behold the fire and the wood, they are all here, but where is the lamb?" And we don't really know if Isaac realized what Abraham had planned. But here's the deal. If there was no lamb, Isaac had to die. Now, Isaac, he might not have known that fact. But you and I, the readers, as we read through this, we know that. We know that because God wanted us to know that. God wanted us to know. He wanted us to get caught up in the drama. He wanted us to get caught up in the tension that is taking place here. God wanted us to understand that if he did not supply the lamb, there was no hope for Isaac. But you see, then God goes and he gives away the plot to the story. God tells us that Abraham says, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Without the lamb, Isaac had no hope. But once God supplied the sacrifice, Isaac was saved. And without the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world, we don't have any hope either. We're all doomed. But once Jesus came, we could be saved. Jesus was our sacrifice. And I know many of you in here, you've already accepted Jesus Christ. And so to give you an invitation, would you surrender your life to Jesus today, right now, right here? Probably isn't going to work all that well. I get it. But listen, the story tells us that Isaac and Abraham, they went home. They went home together. And after you accept Jesus Christ, as you're allowing the Spirit to fill you and to live in your life, you get to walk with God. The question is, have you laid it all on the altar? And are you walking with God? Are you walking with God?